continue our study in the book of Job, and we'll pick up in Job chapter 23
tonight. All right, right on time, amen. All right, Job chapter 23. Job 23, the Bible says, "Then Job answered and said, 'Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, but I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore am I troubled at his presence, when I consider I am afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me, because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face." Let's pray before we continue tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for the privilege we have to meet for our prayer meeting service tonight. And we thank you for a great week of EBS that you've been blessing with. And I'm thankful for folks that are hungry for the Word of God and fellowship and prayer time that may have made their way here this evening. And Lord, would you just honor the faith of your people and just speak to us, feed us the truth that we need from your Word tonight. Lord, I'm just a vessel in your hands and just asking and claiming the power of your Spirit that you would just take your Word and use it and apply it to our hearts. And we just pray that you would just be glorified through this time. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Tonight we're looking at Job's confidence in the midst of despair. Job's confidence in the midst of despair. It seems like that wouldn't really be the case, that in the middle of trials and turmoil, things that will wrench your heart. Remember what he's been going through. He lost his children. Those of you that are parents, you can just imagine. He lost his wealth and the way he can provide for his family. He lost his health. Even his wife turned against him. Now his friends are turning against him. And so he's despairing. But yet, as we read through Job, we see a lot of times him crying out in agony. But then there are those moments where he refocuses, if you will. And he puts his confidence right where our confidence ought to always be, in the Lord. Trusting in the Lord. First, in chapter 23 here, Job was replying back to Eliphaz, his friend that just rebuked him, and said, "Job, I know why you're being judged. You've been a hypocrite. You've been stealing from the poor. You've been oppressing widows. You've been oppressing the fatherless and making all these accusations." And Job now longs to be before God in these first seven verses. He brings his complaint. He says first in verse number 2, he says, "Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning." That's an interesting phrase that he says there. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. That means, listen, I'm crying out. You might think I'm overdoing it, but the stripes that I received are greater than the cries that I've cried out. He's saying, listen, I'm enduring so much right now. That's why I'm crying out so much. And I just remember sometimes, maybe when you were kids, and maybe we were a little bit bratty when we were kids, and we would think, you know, I didn't get my McDonald's. And so we would start crying and acting like it's the end of the world. And then mom would say, listen, I'll give you something to really cry about. If you're going to cry about that, I'll give you something that you can actually cry about. Can I say something also just respectfully? The trials that we face, we can't compare. Why are you whining about that? If I was going through that, I wouldn't whine. I don't want to compare, but there are some things in life, let's be honest. Why are we complaining and griping so much? There's so much pain and real suffering in this world. Sometimes the most insignificant things we allow to get a hold of our hearts and we whine and complain.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Oh, they didn't say hi to me in church. Yeah. Oh, the preacher, he must not like me. Or, hey, you know, so-and-so didn't look at me the right way, and that for some reason that's a big deal for us. And listen, I'm not minimizing. Sometimes there's genuine things that hurt us, and everyone's different. But let's be honest. Sometimes we groan too much, complain too much. And Job is saying, my stroke is heavier than my groaning. I don't think any of us can truly say it with the same meaning he had with all that he went through. And he's crying out and groaning because of the heavy burden that he's faced. And then he says in verse 3, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. You see, he longed to be before God. He said, enough with you friends that are really my enemies. I want to be before God and find his seat, his throne. And literally, he wants to go and plead his case. You know, his friends have been bringing their arguments. They've been bringing their, you know, the prosecution made their case, and now it's time for the defense, right? And he says, you know what, I wish I could take the stand, not before you guys, but before God, for the judge of the universe, because I know that I'm right with him. I know in my conscience I'm clean, that I'm not someone that's gone out and committed some wicked sin that's brought down God's wrath. And Job longed for the presence of God, not just for spiritual comfort, but also for vindication. He wanted to be vindicated in the courtroom of God, especially in the face of his accusers, of his friends. And he is so sure that God is equitable, that God is just. He's so sure that, listen, if I stood before God, I'm so sure that he would plead my case for me. He would know that I'm right with him. And it's a blessing to think about that God is just. In a world that is full of injustice, we can take heart that God himself is just.
Amen.
Just and right is he. He's a God of truth without iniquity, just and right is he, the Bible says. And he has this confidence. In verse 4, he says, I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. He's so sure of his innocence that he would even produce evidence of how that he is right with God. He is sincere enough that he can prove it. He can come boldly even before God to prove it. You know, I read that, it reminds me of the boldness that we ought to have when we come before God in prayer. That we come before him not just pensive and hesitant, that we can boldly enter into his throne room to find grace to help in time of need, the Bible says. That we can come to our Heavenly Father, as we talked about on Sunday, that he loves us with that love, that he's adopted us and he calls us his sons and daughters, and we can go directly and have audience with God. And we can have that boldness. We can have that access. In verse 6, Job says, will he plead, meaning God, plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. You see, he believes that God would not overpower him. He believes that God would not deal with him in a heavy-handed manner. As someone says, God never gives you more than you can bear, right? And so he knows that God's not going to be heavy-handed with him. He's trying to refocus here and long for that. And he's understanding an important principle that God does deal heavy-handedly with true sinners, with true people that are impenitent. Those are the ones that they're not right with God and they don't want to get right with God. You try and witness to them. You try and give them a track. You try and invite them to church. And you know what? Eventually, that rebellious heart, God, that does themselves in. And God does deal harshly. And he does punish and overpower those that resist him. The Bible says in the book of James that if we submit ourselves before God, if we humble ourselves, he will exalt us. But if we have pride, he'll abase us. You see, that literally means that if we have pride in our heart and we don't want to submit to him, that literally God is working against us. And no matter how hard we work, no matter how hard we may strive and push forward, we're hitting a brick wall, you could say, because God himself is against us. But when we humble ourselves, now God is working for us. And so Job could say this with confidence that he's not going to overpower me. In fact, he's going to put strength in me. He's strengthening me. He's using me. He's guiding me. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. And so the same power engaged against proud sinners, we could say, is engaged for humble saints. And Job took heart in that. In verse 7, he says, there the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. Now, there's been a few occasions in Job where he says things that really resonate in light of the New Testament, in light of what Christ has done for us. When you read the book of Romans, Paul makes this treatise about the fact that we need justification. That before the courtroom, before God's throne, we are guilty. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 that there's none that seeketh after God. The Bible says that for all have sinned, they come short of the glory of God. So the righteous judge of the universe, we're guilty before him. Yet the Bible says that Jesus Christ, he came to bear the punishment that you and I deserve. And when we put our faith in him, the Bible says that we are justified. That means in God's courtroom, legally, all the charges are laid on Christ, and we are declared innocent. We are declared righteous. And so when Job says, I shall be delivered forever from my judge, he's saying, I'm acquitted of all charges. And praise the Lord tonight, if you're saved, if you've trusted Christ, you've been acquitted of all charges against you too. All the sins that are on your account have now been placed on Christ. And his righteousness has been credited to you. And now we can walk as justified, as righteous ones, because we have been delivered from our judge. But Job longed to be before God, but secondly, Job's confidence. In verse 8, we're in Job chapter 23, verse 8, he says, behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. He's searching for God here. He's looking left and right, and it seems like he can't find him. One old Puritan writer said this, Job, you have gone forward and backward. You have looked to the left and you have looked to the right. Why don't you try looking up? That's a good point. And he's a soul that's in search of God. That's a good search, by the way. The Bible, God promises if you seek after him, he will be found. That's a good search to have. See, someone that's truly searching after God, they don't leave anything untried. They don't leave any stone unturned, any place unexplored. They are searching. They have this pursuit after God. And Job has this pursuit, but it feels like he can't find God. You ever felt that way? Job feels like maybe there's even some barrier that he can't penetrate to access God and find God. And sometimes, I believe that sometimes we go through the fog in the Christian life, you could say, where we don't necessarily sense his presence. I believe those are those moments that we just go by faith, by the word of God, that we know his presence is there, is real, despite what we may feel. But notice his focus. He says in verse number 10, I can't find God, but God finds me. But he knoweth the way that I take. You see that? He says, it feels like maybe God isn't there, but you know what? He knows right where I am. Job is admitting that even though he couldn't get through to God, it's obvious that God is still clinging to him. God is still watching over his circumstances and the crisis that he's going through here. And you think about Job's thoughts during all of these trials, and maybe some of the thoughts that you and I have, and he's going through just a maze in his mind of why is he doing this, and why is this happening, and maybe this, and it's so confusing and mind-boggling trying to answer those questions. Why? We may never know the answer to the questions we ask in this life, like why does God do this? Why did God allow that? Sometimes it's not for us to know. We've talked about that. And Job, he finally just settles in the fact that God has a purpose and a plan, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You see, he realizes, though I know not the way that he takes, yet he knows the way that I take. I want you to see five things regarding God watching over Job in this way. First, God still observed Job carefully and didn't forget about him. He knows the way that I take. God never forgets about his people. He knows the way that you take. He knows sometimes when the road is leading us in a way that's discouraging. He knows. He sees. Secondly, God had a purpose in the crisis. And the purpose was not to punish Job. He says, and when I am tried, when he hath tried me, when he has tested me, God had a purpose. And then he understood God would one day bring the trial to an end. I shall come forth. It's not going to be forever. Right? Joy cometh in the morning, the Bible says. God would one day bring the trial to an end, and then God would bring something good from all of it. I shall come forth as gold. As gold. So God has a purpose in all he does. God sees. God knows. God doesn't allow us to go through trials forever, and God brings good from all of it if we allow him to and trust in him. And then in verses 11 and 12, Job defends his integrity some more. He says, verse 11, my foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. He's saying, I'm still a follower of God. I follow closely his will, his words. I'm following after him. Can we say that wholeheartedly tonight? That, Lord, whatever you show me in your word, I want to do it. I want to obey it. Lord, I want to treat your word with value, that it's so precious. He says, more necessary than my food. He's using an illustration of, listen, more than my bodily needs, the things that I can't live without this. Lord, I can't live without you. I can't live without your word. I hope we've gotten to that place in our Christian life. Someone said, if you think you can live without God, you will. You will. And it's sad that many people are content to live without God because they've been deceived. You know, maybe those of you that have children, some of you parents, maybe moms, you prepare a nice dinner. You're getting ready. You're slaving over a hot stove. And then you say, all right, dinner time. You have a nice steak dinner, a nice chicken. I don't know, maybe some jerk chicken made, or maybe some chili for the Haitians, right? And some good stuff there, some fried chicken, fried fish. And the kids, they've been eating chips. They've been eating candy, and they come to the dinner table, and I don't want this. They're like, this is good food. This is five-star quality food. But they see it, they smell it, but I don't want this. That's how some people are. They stocked up on the world's filth, on the devil's junk, the devil's substitute. So when they come to the things of God, it's like, take it or leave it. I don't think I need this. No, I think we ought to say, Lord, I want your word. I don't want the world's junk. I don't want the world's substitute. I don't want the devil's deceptions. I want your word, your truth. And we get like Job, where we say that your words are more than my necessary food. But Job had this level of commitment to God and to his word and devotion to him. He wanted to keep his way. He wanted to treasure his word. But then in the last few verses of chapter 23, Job ponders God's sovereignty. God's sovereignty. In verse 13 he says, but he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. See, while he's trusting in God, he's also realizing that he can't make God do anything. We can't make God do anything. We can't force God to do something. He's God. And the reality is, the nature of prayer is not to change God's mind about something. Sometimes that's maybe the way we think of it. Well, God, you're not thinking properly. Let me pray and help you, and you'll change your mind. No. In fact, when we pray, we're not changing God's will. We're bringing down God's will from heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, God's will is perfectly established and realized. And we want to bring down God's will. Now, some people look at verses like this and they go to an extreme. And they say, well, it's all fixed, all set up. We don't have to do anything. We don't even have to pray. No, my friends, there's admonishments throughout the Bible where God commands us, God pleads with us to pray, because God chooses to work through prayer. See, I want to find God's will. God's vehicle to bring down his will is prayer. That's why Jesus said, ask and it shall be given you, right? He commands us to do that because that's how we access the Father's will. But the reality is when we pray, we're not trying to change God's mind, because why would we want to change His mind? He knows best. Why should I tell Him this is the way it should be and this is the time it should happen? And we say, Lord, if it's Your will, Lord, would You allow this? Lord, would You reveal what Your will is for this circumstance, for this situation? Lord, maybe this sickness here. Lord, we want Your will, Your timing, Your schedule for this important decision. Lord, would You help me to understand Your will, have the mind of Christ? That's what prayer is all about. Job is realizing that God is sovereign. That means He's in control. And He's not someone that we can just go and change His mind. But yet, when we pray His will, what that now does is now we can pray with confidence. Because God's mind cannot be changed. Listen, if we understand this truth, it'll impact how fervently we pray. We say, Lord, the devil's attacking. The devil, the world is pushing. But Your mind cannot be changed. And Lord, we pray for Your will to be done. And we resist the devil's will. Lord, we want Your will done in our lives. That gives us confidence when we understand how God works. God is sovereign, and He says in verse 14, for He performeth the thing that is appointed for Me, and many such things are with Him. That means God has His time, His schedule for everything. And there are reasons for all that God does, and guess what? We may not always know this side of heaven why God does what He does, or why He waits, or seems to wait from our perspective. And He understood that the reasons and wisdom of God's work are ultimately only for Him to know. Not for Job to know, not for his friends to know. But Job thinks of these thoughts, and tonight I think God's sovereignty should be a comforting thought. God's sovereignty should be a comforting thought for us, but it was a troubling thought for Job. Because in verse 15 he says, therefore am I troubled at His presence when I consider I am afraid of Him. And he's using good truth, but he's misapplying it. I think he's misunderstanding. He's troubled at the fact that God is sovereign. We often quote Romans 8:28. That's a verse that ought to impact how we view God's sovereignty. And we know that God works all things together. That's His sovereignty. He's working all things together for good to them that love Him and are the called according to His purpose. So literally, we can say two things. God is in control and God is good. And so we shouldn't fear the fact that God is in control. He's a good God. He's a loving Heavenly Father. And so we want Him to be in control. So Job expresses his thoughts here, his fears, but also his faith, his confidence. He wants himself to be vindicated. But I want you to remember, through this process in Job's life, Job, we know the backstory. We know what's happened in heaven. We can say, Job, God's not against you. He's for you. That's because we have the whole book already completed. But he's living this. So he doesn't know exactly what's going on. God in this book doesn't give Job a clear explanation for what's happening and why it's happening. And the reason for that is he simply leaves him to a simple place of pure trust. Lord, I don't know why, but all I can do is just trust. And think about it in your life and in my life. There are things that go on and God doesn't explain it to us. He leaves us to that place where all we can do is just trust. All we can do is just wait on Him. Charles Spurgeon asked four questions from every man in his church regarding God knowing the way that you take. He says, first, do you know your own way? That means, hey, what's the way you're walking? Are you walking the right path? Secondly, is it a comfort to you that God knows your way? Thirdly, are you tried and tested in the way? And if so, fourthly, have you confidence in God as to the result of that trial? Can you say with Job, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the example of Your servant Job, and we just pray that You'll, as we go through our trials and circumstances in our lives, that we would just learn to look to You, to depend on You, to trust in You. Lord, it's a comfort to know that You're in control of all, and so Lord, we trust in that. Lord, it's a comfort to know that You're a good God, You're a loving Heavenly Father, and Lord, help us to have the confidence that although we may not understand all that You're doing, Lord, You watch over us. Lord, You have a plan for our lives, and You want to bring us forth as pure gold for Your honor and glory. And so, Father, would You do just that in our hearts and our lives? Would you bless the remainder of our service tonight? Bless our prayer time, we ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's collect our offering tonight. I'll ask Brother Gary if he'd come now.
And we got some